smartphones, home security systems, and gaming consoles all online, all at the same time. So go ahead and connect, surf, and stream the game in seamless high-speed bliss. 1 gig delivers the speed you need for all things online. Visit GetNorthland.com or call 888-NORTHLAND to learn more now. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds may vary. Visit GetNorthland.com/offers for details.
Carolina and all the ships at sea. You want to get in 654-7627. We're still debating and arguing the same things. I put up some new ideas on Twitter today about how to handle it. There's only been one or two objections, and those objections hold no water. Possum Sauce says, I said the rationale behind this, but I think it's flawed. Doing this shouldn't remove subjectivity because the divisions and conferences aren't balanced. Coastal, SEC East. Only way to find a true champion is to evolve conferences and play a national schedule. None of that is happening. Okay, so I'm not talking. Look, this isn't about year 2050. Stop. This is about now and fixing what's wrong now. So there's nothing flawed about it. It's essential. And it's elementary. It couldn't be more clear. It's you can't allow a team to sit out, rest, get well, not risk further injury, and not risk a loss in an additional game who doesn't achieve. Again, it would be the NFL equivalent of giving an 8-8 team a bye. That's what you have. It's just flat out friggin' stupid in a 4-team playoff. And that could be addressed today. They could fix that today. They should have already done this. They should have already done this. It can't be any simpler. None of these, stop with the, we should have become one league or become three power leagues. Stop that stuff, all right? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what's going to happen 20 years from now. I'm talking about today, right this frigging second. That's what I'm talking about a way to fix that today. And virtually everybody gets this. Everybody. By the way, Ramon, the other day I suggested that I was going to start marketing my own T-shirts that were going to say, because of this very thing, that would say Alabama SEC on the front would say Alabama SEC West first runner up. And then on the back, I said I would need a slogan and my slogan suggestion was, we rest while you play?
Yes.
Bill and Joel, two guys who, amongst other things, are in the shirt-making industry, have made me shirts saying this.
I saw them.
I have them in Bama Crimson, and I have them in Clemson Orange. They have the elephant head on the front. It's exactly the words I suggested, and they brought them to life. I don't have many of them, and a couple people here actually want one. But what I'm planning on doing is I'm planning on bringing a few of them to Twin Peaks next week because I only have a few of them. I'm planning on bringing a few. I don't know how I'm going to give them out. I'll think about that, but that's my plan right now as to how to disperse them. These are unique items at this point.
They are.
It's just unbelievable what our listeners are capable of. You know, there were people who brought it to life, Ramona, in terms of a photograph immediately after I said it and posted what it would look like. But Joel and Bill actually brought it to life. I've got the shirt sitting out in the box here on the table. Right? So I actually have the shirts, which is just which is priceless. They're a thing of beauty. They're even better than I imagined. Even better than I imagined. So you want to get in, you're welcome to. You know, here's another thing. I wrote this on Twitter today. I keep getting asked why all these four-letter mouthpieces are constantly talking three SEC teams in the college football playoff. And the answer is easy. They're haggling, indoctrinating. They knew full well the league isn't getting three without plague hitting the rest of the country. They're conditioning you to accept two. That's what's happening. And then I said, if they can cement the notion that three is viable, then two seems more reasonable. It isn't reasonable at all, though, in a four-team field with five power leagues. The SEC got wiped out in bowl season last year, and they're counting on the fact that you've forgotten that. And that's what I wrote on Twitter today. So to all the people, I see it constantly. I see the four-letter network mouthpieces and people espousing this three teams from the SEC. And they know fully well. They're fully cognizant. Even if they're fully indoctrinated, even if their paycheck dictates it, they are fully cognizant of the fact that the SEC is not getting three teams in. But why are they suggesting it over and over and over again? Because that makes you, at the end of the day, much more willing to accept two. It's like a haggle. You know, they're starting out with a ridiculous price. It's like you have an item that's worth $100 and you want to buy it for 50, but this guy starts out at 500. He knows it's only worth 100, but he wants to start out at 500 so that the negotiating gets moved up the scale. So he eventually gets a higher price. That's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to convince there's no way on earth they believe. I mean, you would have to be invincibly stupid to believe that the SEC is getting three teams in this playoff. Because it's not happening, like I said, unless plague wipes out the rest of the country. But they continue to talk about it. People keep sending me videos of four-letter network mouthpieces saying the same thing. Why? Why is because they're conditioning you to be willing to accept two. And they're also doing the same thing to the playoff committee. It's the same message. Let them hear it over and over again. The SEC deserves three. They're human beings before they're committee members. You know, hey, look, there's a reason, for example, some television commercials are designed just to keep the thought in your mind. They don't care whether you like it or hate it. They just want you to remember it. Well, it's sort of the same thing here. It's an indoctrination process. Say it enough times, and eventually it seeps in subliminally to everybody, including committee members. You know, so that's an element of this. By the way, Clemson men's soccer and Fuego. I mean, you talk about sweeping awards. Coach Noonan and staff have done an incredible job. This team has done an incredible job. You're going to have number one versus number two, Clemson number one, Virginia number two in the ACC soccer final. That's Sunday. And this team basically swept really all the ACC awards. You had the coach of the year. You had the freshman of the year. You had the offensive player of the year. You had the defensive player of the year. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's nothing else left. I mean, you basically, Clemson soccer basically swept all of the awards, all of them. I mean, I'm sure there's something I'm missing. I mean, maybe there was a goalkeeper of the year. I don't know who won that. But Clemson soccer won the ACC Freshman of the Year, the ACC Offensive Player of the Year, with Robinson, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, the ACC Coach of the Year, Coach Noonan, and now they're going to play for the title versus number two Virginia. Both teams advanced via 1-0 victories, Clemson over Pittsburgh. So the championship game is set, and the championship match is set, and it should be a tremendous match. So both teams won 1-0 in their respective semifinals. Clemson 1-0 over Pittsburgh, and UVA 1-0 over Wake, setting up what should be a great match. And again, Clemson has been a tremendous offensive soccer team all year. They've just been really good, period. Really good, period. So congratulations to Coach Noonan and Clemson men's soccer for an unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable season. Clemson men's basketball coach Brad Brownell will join us at 6:05 today. So that's coming later today. Roadrageous moments in history today. It will be an extended edition. This is going to be fun. I have some great stuff about regarding this week's edition, and it will focus on football, and I'll leave the rest to later. But trust me. And we're going to do that early today, or relatively early, because I promised it yesterday and never wound up getting to it because the show was so insanely busy. So you want to get in, you're welcome to 654-7627. Also, Ramona, the Carolina Alliance Bank, you pick 'em games are out, and we are required to pick those games. The entries have to be in by 5. Mine's already in. We'll talk about what we did and why we did it. I was a little PO'd last week in that deal because I was the only person who got Minnesota and Utah State in the contest. The only one who got both of them. And I still wound up 6-4, which was the best, tied for the best mark. But I felt like I should have been 8-2 or something. And, you know, I picked Kansas State in that Texas game, and Kansas State started out 14-0. And they were moving the ball at will. And I thought, oh yeah, yep. We're going to be like 8-2. I'm going to make up all sorts of ground. And then the second half came, and Kansas State did nothing, absolutely nothing. And Texas just wore them out in the second half. It was a dominant second half by Texas, but I'm not sure what happened with Kansas State. I mean, they just sort of, I don't know. Stop playing with a 14-0 lead isn't exactly right, but they were throwing the ball at will on Texas early in that game. And something went terribly wrong in the second half, but we'll get to that. By the way, on the rule, my suggested rule, which would prevent a non-division winner, and people have asked, well, how do you handle the Big 12 in that scenario? Well, this is how the rule would read. The rule would read: a college football playoff eligible team must reach their respective conference title game as a minimum threshold. It's simple. It's easy. That applies to the Big 12. They don't have divisions. It doesn't matter. The wording, when you word it that way, it's the same exact thing. It just means, what it means is the third place team in the Big 12 can't advance. I mean, it's just so simple. The third place team can't advance because they would gain enormous competitive advantage. So that's how to word it to handle every league. Now, there's one remaining issue. And that one remaining issue would be the specter of Notre Dame. And the way I would handle that is, obviously, Notre Dame's been reticent to join a conference for a long period of time. And I understand their reluctance. I understand the reluctance. You know, there's only a handful of independents now. There's Army, Notre Dame, Liberty, BYU, UMass. Seems to me there's one more I'm forgetting. In any case, there's only a handful of independents now. Navy no longer won. I would be more concerned about the future of Army than I am about Notre Dame. My inclination about Notre Dame is to tell them to screw off. That's my inclination about Notre Dame. My inclination about Notre Dame is screw off. Sorry, you're out. You're not in a league, so you're out. But I have to make some allowance for Army. I'm more concerned about Army. Not that Army is more relevant in this discussion than Notre Dame, but what if they are one day before we go to 8? I'm more concerned with their well-being. So I would have to make, there would have to be a clause to cover independence. And essentially what it would say is this. It would say that independents remain eligible for the college football playoff, but deference will be given to teams who play an extra game, i.e. a conference championship game. So in other words, if all else is equal and we compare Notre Dame to a team that played in a conference title game, the team that played in the conference title game is going to gain advantage whether they won or lost the game. And this might lead Notre Dame to some level of compulsion to join a conference, the ACC in this case. It might compel them to consider it, especially if the new wording winds up leaving them out. But again, unless Notre Dame is a clear cut above two teams playing in a conference championship game. In other words, Notre Dame is 12-0, and the two teams playing in a conference title game are 9-3 versus 10-2. All right, there you would give the edge to Notre Dame. But other than that, deference would be given to any conference affiliated team playing in a conference title game. So Notre Dame would, as an independent, would have a higher bar to clear to make it. If you were to adopt that type of language that I just described, you would clear up the vast majority of issues that people have and concerns with this playoff as it's presently structured. You just would. All right, we have a million things to get to today. You know, something unrelated. I posted a video of Gale Sayers on my Twitter feed the other day, and I did it for a specific reason. The Lamar Jackson run against Cincinnati was reminiscent of some of the great Sayers runs you see on film. And so I posted a video of Gale Sayers. If you've never seen Gale Sayers, it's worth your, you know, 3-4 invested minutes to go and check it out. Because what Sayers was the most spectacular runner in the history of football. The most beautiful runner in the history of football. I think even more so than Barry Sanders. You know, his career was very short, 5-6 years. Year 6 was an injury return year. He still rushed for 1,000 yards, but he wasn't the same back after the knee injury. Knee injuries, obviously, today are handled much differently. That's the shame of Gale Sayers, and really on the defensive side of Dick Butkus, that we didn't get to see more of either of those guys. But Sayers was the most spectacular runner who ever lived. You know, we always think that it's always better today. Go watch the video and tell me that there's ever been a better runner than Gale Sayers. A more elusive, faster runner. A runner with more innate capability. A more spectacular, beautiful runner than Gale Sayers. No. And Lamar Jackson, when he runs and he gets in the open field, that's who he reminds me of. We're going to talk a little more about Lamar and Deshaun today because they have a game coming up. And I want to talk about some elements of that particular game as well. Jim, you're up first. I'll get to you when we get back. Walter Petula, Road Rage. We'll take a quick break.
Hey, Tiger fans, we know you're on the lookout for the best Black Friday deals. Well, Engineered Sleep will be running their biggest sale of the year. Their high-quality, locally-made mattresses will be heavily discounted and come with free delivery and setup of every order. The best Black Friday deal, the biggest sale of the year, free delivery. Go visit their showroom on Congaree Road in Greenville or check them out at engineeredsleep.com. Buy local and save big this Black Friday at Engineered Sleep.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
We should be able to pinpoint the issue and save your marriage. Sir, what is on your mind?
Well, marriage is supposed to be 50-50, right? She has her car and I have my truck.
Which has always had a nasty old scratched up bed. It was a clunker.
Since I took it to Line-X of Anderson, she takes off in it when I'm not looking.
But it looks so good now. It's got a premium Line-X spray and bed liner. It's lifted, new wheels, tires, step bar, and a new tonneau cover. It's hot.
But it's mine.
In a happy marriage, we must compromise. In other words, what's hers is hers and what's yours is hers.
Wait, what?
Happy wife, happy life. I see the only solution is for you to buy another truck and take it to Line-X of Anderson and hide the keys.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Did your little ghouls leave chocolate and pumpkin guts behind on your carpets and rugs? Get cleaned up for the holidays with Zero Res. Mention my name, Mickey Plyler, and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129 and a free hallway. Call now at 864-558-7300 or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean.
CBD benefits are well known, but not all CBD is equal. At your CBD stores, our products are certified quality organic hemp. Your CBD store products are third-party tested for purity, and we offer a variety of products, from water solubles, topical creams, and oil drops, to pet products. Visit your CBD stores in Greenville at 2111 Augusta Street, 1461 Woodruff Road, and 2603 North Pleasantburg Road. In Spartanburg at 1450 W.O. Ezel Boulevard. Your CBD stores, where good health hits home. Go Tigers!
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
No one's better than Walt Daptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Think of it as a cleansing of the mind.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Did you see that my guy Jacob DeGrom won the Cy Young? He won in landslide fashion again.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, can't win a game playing for the Mets because the Mets can't score a run for him. But he took 29 of the 30 first place votes. That actually surprised me. But, you know, the Mets have something going on. You know, DeGrom's actually a little older than people probably realize. I think most people look at DeGrom and you think he's 24, 25. He's not. But he's now won consecutive Cy Young awards. And that's only been done 7 times in history. You know, Roger Clemens has 7 Cy Youngs. 7. Roger Clemens had 7 Cy Young awards. That's unbelievable. You think of the career Greg Maddux had, now awesome Greg Maddux was. Maddux has 4. Clemens almost had almost double that. 7. And yet still can't get into the Hall of Fame and probably shouldn't. But regardless, DeGrom wins the Cy Young. And, you know, the reason it's interesting is because I've been made the contention that made the suggestion that the NL East over the next 5 or 6 years is going to be unbelievable with the Mets and with Atlanta, Washington, and the Mets, and it, to a lesser extent, Philadelphia, but particularly those first 3 teams. I think the competition level amongst those teams is going to be unbelievable. I think they're all going to be playoff teams. I think the young talent. But here's the but, Ramona. Here's the but. Here's the but where my pathetic Mets historically are concerned. The Mets the other day hired Carlos Beltran as their manager. This has been rumored, speculated for some period of time. I wasn't in favor of this move because I don't have any idea whether Carlos Beltran can manage a baseball team or not. I don't have the foggiest idea. None. I want somebody. I'm not sure this is an upgrade from Callaway. I don't know. And then this happened, Ramona.
What's that?
The Mets announced the Beltran hiring like 5 days ago. And then in the last 48 hours, the scandal of Houston stealing signs in 2017 came out. And guess who one of the three prime implicated guys?
No way.
In the scandal of 2017 stealing signs is. That's right, Carlos Beltran. You know,
not good.
The Mets timing is always so unique. It's a Mets thing that you just can't explain. You learn to live with it. You know, you and, right.
Meet the Mets.
Right.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have a time.
You know, on one day, the Mets announced their manager, and then, you know, 2 days later, he either gets some childhood disease that no one's ever heard of, like hoof and mouth disease, or, you know, he gets busted up at Craig's marijuana farm. You know, I mean, this is what happens with the Mets.
Not good again.
No, these are the kind of things that happen with the Mets. So the Mets, just a couple days ago, named their new manager Carlos Beltran, and then like 24 hours later, Carlos Beltran's name comes up as one of the key alleged ne'er-do-wells in the Houston Astros high-tech conspiracy to steal signs. Now, again, to me, stealing signs has been done all through baseball history, but nonetheless, I find it odd. Now, here's the other part of it, Ramona. I just want to say this as a downtrodden Met. Here, I want to say this. I'm all for it.
You're all for it.
I am all for Carlos Beltran using all of his technology, all of his alleged technology, sign-stealing apparatus, and bring it right to New York. Absolutely. If we can't beat him fairly, let's cheat. I'm all for it.
Way to go.
That's right. If the Mets can't beat the Braves squarely, let's steal their signs. Come on, Carlos. You know, you obviously know all about this technology. Let's bring it to New York. I'm absolutely in favor of, from a Mets standpoint, more cheating. I want more cheating.
Right?
Yeah, exactly right. You know what? Houston still won the World Series. I don't think they're taking away from them. So I want more cheating. So now, you know, a few days ago, I wasn't sure about this hire. Now, Ramona, as long as Carlos doesn't have, you know, people sniffing around him now, you know, as long as he can come to New York and operate a new sign-stealing campaign in the clear, but probably not. See, that's the real concern now. Now they're going to be watching Carlos more closely. You know, they're going to keep an eye on Carlos. You know what's even worse? Seriously, though, think about this. They could ban him. You know, I don't know what the result. I heard today Major League Baseball is going to take a deeper dive into all this. By the way, there's another expression I hate. Punch me in the face if I ever say it again.
I'll say it again. Come on. I'll go over there right now and do it. Come on. I'm ready.
You know, but what I'm saying is, it seems conceivable to me that if this thing becomes a bigger issue, that Carlos Beltran could be like suspended from baseball for like a couple of years. That'll look good for the Mets. The Mets hiring their manager like 2 weeks later, before he ever manages a game, they suspend him from baseball for 2 years.
Wow, that would be bad.
No worries, Mets. You can hire an interim and bring Carlos back in like 2023. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Walt, I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Hey, good, Jim. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, thanks. So, quick question. Is Baylor the Big 12's last hope to get a playoff team in?
I believe so.
So, Oklahoma, even if they beat Baylor, which could be twice, they still don't have an outside chance.
They may have an outside chance, but here's the problem. Baylor is ranked 13. excuse me, right now in the playoff committee poll. I just don't think there's a ton of juice. I know they're unbeaten, but they're 13. Now, if Oklahoma beat them, you know, 50-20, that would help, especially coming off a game at home against Iowa State where they needed to survive a two-point conversion. But here's the other thing. It would all, here's the double-edged sword for Oklahoma. Let's say they do what I just said, all right? If they then wind up playing Baylor again in the conference title game, Baylor's been completely devalued at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, that won't be worth anything anymore. Baylor will be like 25 or 26, and nobody will care. So that's the real issue I see for Oklahoma. Is it conceivable that Oklahoma this week could move ahead of one of the two Pac-12 teams, or maybe both of them? Yeah, I think that's conceivable, but I don't think they can hold it. You know?
Go ahead. I don't think so either. Well, no, I was just agreeing with you. I mean, because if you mean to tell me that Oklahoma is the Big 12's best team, then they have no shot. I mean, if they want to use their eye test, then use their eye test. They're not one of the best four teams.
See, I think that's it. I think, you know, it's unfortunate because in a real world, in a real playoff world, we should have eight teams and the winner of that league should be in, and then we get to find out.
Right.
But in this world where, unfortunately, it is a beauty contest and we're going to have to find reasons to promote certain teams and demote others, that league is seemingly this year, without question, the lowest of the leagues. I mean, there's no other way to view it right now, unfortunately. And it may be wrong. It may be wrong. It may be that in an open-air tournament, maybe they'd win the whole thing. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to get a chance. I think they're going to be left out.
Yeah, I agree. Switching gears slightly, this is what I really wanted to talk about. Is there a blueprint or a scheme or something, any way to defend Lamar Jackson? Or is he just – can you just not defend him?
I think the answer right now, Jim, is he's almost impossible to defend. Now, I think that with more time and more familiarity, teams may do a better job of it. Like, I'm thinking if the Patriots have a rematch with Baltimore in the playoffs, I would expect them to defend him at a slightly better level than they did the first time. But at the same time, I think he's going to keep getting better. And so you may actually defend him a little better, but you might not stop him to any greater degree, because I don't think we've ever seen anything like him. I mean, he's so ridiculously special. I mean, if anyone watching Lamar right now, he is clearly a quarterback first. He is, most of the time, he is standing in the pocket throwing the ball. But when he pulls the ball down, now he's Gale Sayers. And I don't know how you defend that. The Patriots. Go ahead.
Even if they have like designed runs for the quarterback, they're going to add an extra blocker from the running back.
Yeah.
So that's 10-on-10. You know, if you do man on man, and if you leave Lamar Jackson 1-on-1 with somebody, I'm taking him 11 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and he could actually throw. I mean,
no question. Yeah, you know, and I think he's
very underrated.
Yep, I think he's getting better and better in that area. And, you know, if you go back to that highlight reel play against Cincinnati, when he pulls that ball down and takes off, he blows by a couple initial defenders. Then he runs into a DB in the open field, and he just jukes him. That guy has no chance. He wouldn't get him down in one fingernail touch. But when he jukes him, he's headed right for three defenders who are in a line separated only by 5 total yards. So there's like 1.5, 2 yards between them. There are three guys in a line waiting for him as he jukes the first defender and heads right towards him. He spins around the middle defender, and none of those three guys lay a single hand on him. I mean, that's insanity. That's the truth about this guy. Is not only is he a legitimate quarterback MVP candidate and a blossoming, incredible quarterback, but he's also the greatest runner in the game. This stuff about we debate, well, who's the greatest running back? Is it Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey name anybody you want, Cook? The answer is none of them. The greatest running back is a quarterback, and so there's your problem.
Yeah, until I see it, until some defense or somebody shows me that they can stop him, then I don't believe that can happen. I just don't think it can. I mean, someone has to show me first before I can believe it. But anyway,
thank you, Jim. Yeah, that was actually on my agenda of things to discuss today because we have the big Deshaun Lamar matchup coming this weekend, and you know we were privileged to watch this. You know, it's just so funny because when I originally did the 2016 review of that football game, I didn't do it with the intent that this game was coming up. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about what we were all privileged to witness here in 2016, where I've suggested that's the greatest matchup of quarterbacks on one field at the same time in the history of college football. And these two guys were fighting for, you know, Heisman Trophy, and now the stage has changed, and now they're fighting for an MVP award. And I'm going to tell you this with absolute certainty. You know, Brady historically is on one level from a competitive fire standpoint, but these are the next two guys. These two guys will rip your heart out to win. They are so desperately going to want to beat each other that I hope they don't press too much in that football game, because they are those two guys want to win that game, not just for their teams. Yes, they want to win for the teams because they're both team-first guys. They're both team-first guys. But make no mistake about it, they're also individual competitors. And they want to win that head-to-head matchup badly. And from Lamar's standpoint, you know, this is the first time he'll go into this game with equal type of talent. You know, collegiately, his team didn't have the talent that Deshaun's did when they went head-to-head. But the matchup itself is one for the ages, and we're going to get to see this again. We're going to get to see this over and over in the next decade. And it's not just these two guys, but these two guys, in my mind, are tied together for all time because of their collegiate relationship, because of, the goals, the similar, the Heisman Trophy pursuit, you know, the head-to-head matchup, the 2016 game, and now we get to see it extend to the pro game, and it's incredible. I mean, I can't wait to watch that football game. I cannot wait. It's hard to imagine it getting much better. As I said, I hope they each don't press too much, but I think we're going to be witness to some incredible theater in that game. I can't wait. Joe, I'm coming right to you. Let me tell you about Clemson's best ice cream. You know what? You know, Mona, it may be 30 degrees outside, but let me tell you something. As an ice cream connoisseur, any frigging temperature is a good time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you have heat in your house, right?
There's no reason you can't. Right. That's right. Right. Turn up the heater.
Right. You have heat in your house. Yeah, you have heat in your house. You're not eating it outside. Go get Clemson's best gourmet ice cream. Trust me, it doesn't get better. Real milk, real cream, real fruit. Incredibly good. So good you'll want to lick the bowl. It's the ice cream that grandma used to make. They packed, you know, Rona, all these places today are so intent on taking all the good stuff out of ice cream and charging you more money for it. You know, it's funny, that inverse relationship. They take all the good stuff out and then they charge you more money, like they did you some sort of favor. Nay. No thanks. I'll go with Clemson's best ice cream, where they load a full 700 calories worth of goodness into every pint. That's what we're talking about. And of course, they have the incredible flavors, homemade vanilla, strawberry shortcake, peaches and cream, caramel butter pecan, and now the Carolina almond coffee, which is the greatest coffee ice cream I've ever had. And that's my favorite. Joe, quick break. We'll come right to you. You want in 654-7627.
Be sure and join Coach Amanda Butler and your Clemson women's basketball team all season long in Little John Coliseum. The next game is coming up soon, and tickets are available and can be purchased right now on ClemsonTigers.com. Tickets are only $6 for adults, $4 for youth and seniors. 12 and under receive free admission. So check out Clemson Women's Basketball for some great family fun, and we'll see you soon in Little John Coliseum.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Hey guys, it's time for the Toyo Tires Fall into Autumn promotion going on right now at the Pendleton Tire Company. Purchase 4 qualifying passenger or light truck tires and receive an instant rebate of up to $80. That's right, instant rebate. No waiting, straight off the invoice. So get a set of Toyo Open Country QTs for the wife's SUV or a set of Toyo Open Country MTs for your cowboy Cadillac. Call Joey or Zach today at 646-3694 or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Tired of your worn-out glasses or need a new prescription? Westminster Vision in Pendleton can help you with all your vision needs. Rake in the savings at our Fall for Frames Trunk Show on November 22nd from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Frames and lenses are buy one, get one 50% off all day long. All who visit are entered into a raffle for a chance to win prizes, including a free pair of glasses or a gift card. Call 646-3535 with questions or to set up an appointment. Walk-ins are welcome, too, off Highway 76 across from the QT.
David Green and the professionals at Green Law Firm understand your rights when it comes to any issue with the IRS. The IRS has instituted the Fresh Start Program, and David Green knows how to use the Fresh Start Program to your best advantage. The Green Law Firm can't change your past, but they can certainly change your future. For a free strategy session, call the Green Law Firm at 271-7940 or go online at greenlaw.legal. That's greenlaw.legal.
For only $47,385, you could own a new Isuzu medium-duty NPR HD with a 16-foot van body from Christopher Trucks. It includes a 5-year, 200,000-mile extended powertrain and after-treatment warranty, plus oil changes for 2 years or 60,000 miles. Christopher Trucks and Isuzu, the industry leaders. Christopher Trucks, Whitehorse Road at I-85, 269-2131. Online at ChristopherTrucks.com.
There's no better time of year than now to discover the beauty of Reed's for diamonds. Your family-owned jeweler, Reed's introduces the Lightbox line of extraordinary lab-grown diamonds. You'll find custom-designed Lightbox necklaces, rings, pendants, and earrings in both pink and blue. Discover the beauty and elegance of Lightbox diamonds when you discover Reed's Jewelers. Reed's Jewelers, in the middle of Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Reed's Jewelers, online at Reed's.com.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
He's disturbing the peace.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage. Look, humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, from flint tools to shark teeth to the first copper razor. We always knew that a great shave came down to the simple, sharp, durable blades. The ancient Greeks didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. Harry's doesn't use gimmickry. They give you the best shave at a fair price and offer you the best guarantee in the industry. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code WALT at harrys.com. Look, what I love most about it is the flexible, soft hinge glides right across the contours of my face. No cuts, no burns ever. That's a Harry's shave. To keep prices low, Harry's cut out the middleman. They bought the German factory. They made the finest steel, grounded in the sharpest blades. And they offered you the best guarantee in the industry. Harry's has an incredible offer for listeners of my show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code WALT at harrys.com. That means you get the five-blade razor, the weighted handle, the foaming shave gel, and the travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code WALT at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use code WALT at checkout to claim your offer. You don't live in West Virginia. You live in South Carolina. And so let's get it done. Get to Harry's. Get to Harry's. I'm coming to you, Joe, in one second. Let me get to Joe. I want to touch on something I heard a listener, a caller to Ben and Brad bring up earlier today, because I think he may have been on to something. Joe, how are you?
How's it going, Mark?
Hey, Joe, appreciate you getting in.
Two quick picks, for you, before I get to what I was going to talk about. I think Iowa's going to upset Minnesota this weekend. Minnesota hasn't beaten Iowa since 1999 at Iowa City.
True.
So,
well, it won't be an upset because Iowa's the but it won't be an upset because Iowa's the favorite for that reason.
Oh, really? Okay. And then I got Auburn by a field goal over Georgia. I think Auburn's defensive line is better than South Carolina's, and I think that's going to be the difference in the game again. Nothing has been.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Do you have me on Bluetooth or something?
How about now?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay. I just don't believe in that passing game. And I don't think Fromm is a round one draft pick like everybody was saying in the earlier part of the year.
Everybody but me. Hey, what about. Yeah. But what about Auburn? I mean, Auburn's not exactly been, an air attack either. Auburn has not really thrown the ball that well. I mean, Nix is completing like 55% of his throws, which is awful.
Yeah, but I think 24 points is enough. I think it'll be 24-21.
Okay.
Like a little bit low scoring, but, just real quick, you know, everything that I've been reading is suggesting that Muschamp's going to get fired. So things have taken a little bit of a turn over the past week.
The president's comments, I don't think, give Muschamp much. I certainly don't think it increases his level of optimism. May want to cut back a little on the Christmas gifts this season. Pare the list down a little bit. Not quite as generous as you were in previous years. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was out pretty much in the North Carolina game. That ended it for me. But
yeah, that was early. This is game one. Yeah. I was out in the North Carolina game. Ended it for me. Yeah.
But honestly, Walt, you look at the coaching job and the offense has been outcoached by some pedestrian defensive coordinators. I mean, if we're honest, some really pedestrian off defensive coordinators. And quite frankly, he's being fired for cause because you don't go 4-8 and keep your job.
Well, fired for cause means he doesn't get paid. So, no. I get your point. All right. So here's the deal. Joe, if you're going to take that step, then you have to have a list of candidates. Who do you want?
Yeah, three. Norville at Memphis. I think you can get him. He's a low buyout. And then I think Still Leach is a get because he's about $2 to $3 million buyout. And then you got Satterfield. So we'll see out of those three. I mean, Norville's most likely. What do you think of Norville? I mean, at least he has an offense with a pole.
You know, okay. There's no easy way for me to say this. I don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm about to say what I'm going to. But I have heard multiple people in my industry on the airwaves infer something about Mike Norville. I don't know what they are talking to. I have searched it. I have not found anything, any wrongdoing. I have not found any, and these people have not voiced what their claim is. I don't know. I have heard a rumor. It's conjecture. I will not repeat it on air because I don't think it's fair. I don't even think this conversation's fair to Norville, really, because I can't find anything. But nonetheless, I have heard multiple people in my industry who had some sort of relationship, had some knowledge of Norville, and they insisted that they would not hire him. Why, again, I do not know. It's why people keep about. People bring this name, right? People bring this name up to me all the time, and I just don't know what to do with that. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I've searched it. I have seen these vague insinuations, but I don't see anything concrete, any reason you shouldn't. Look, we've heard this stuff before, too. I mean, you know, we've heard this with other coaches, you know, that allegedly is that allegedly had these skeletons in the closet. And in almost every one of those cases, it never proved to be true. Or if it was true, it never went any further than that. So I don't know. I'm almost to the point where I have to say that sort of damn the speculation. If you want Norville, go get him.
I mean, I don't see how there's a scenario where he can come back and succeed.
Well, Muschamp can?
Lame duck walking. Yeah. There's not really a scenario.
Well, hey, look, I can give you a scenario, Joe, where he could succeed. A, you got a young quarterback who's going to get better and have a full camp this time. And is going to be stronger, healthier, all that stuff. And B, you're not going to play the schedule that you played this year.
Well, my last question is, do you think the team's quit? Because there's a lot of suggestions that they have. And
well,
that's a problem, too.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I think if you're watching the games, I'm not sure how anybody could say that. Because if you had quit, then you would have got run out by App State. What I saw was a team that showed some fight late against App State. Yeah, you didn't play well. Yeah, it didn't go perfectly. Yeah, I think the game plan, the offensive game plan, was suspect. But at the end, you were down at the 11-yard line with a shot to win the game, whereas for much of the game, it looked like you had no shot to win the game. So I don't think they quit. That doesn't... What I witnessed in that game doesn't define what I would call quitting.
Yeah, that was the opinion of this guy I listened on the podcast. But I'll leave you with this, Walt. There's going to be a lot of openings, so there's going to be competition. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Let me get to Brad. Brad, how are you?
Hey, Walt. I got two quick questions
yep.
for you. Both of them regarding the playoff. I guess from a Clemson fan standpoint, who concerns you the most? Like as far as a matchup, possible
yep.
matchup for Clemson. And then second, I know, like following you on Twitter and whatnot, I know you're not a big fan of like, or maybe I'm missaying this, but maybe you think Oregon or Utah should be in the top four or five instead of Georgia or Alabama.
Correct.
And I'm just wondering, if those teams played, do you honestly think that like Utah would beat Alabama? Or how would you see those matchups going down?
Yeah. Remind me again, what was the first part of it was what? Did you go, what was the first part of it? He got off the phone quickly. You know, regarding the Utah, it's the matchup. Which matchup, I remember, it was which matchup would most concern Clemson. I think the matchup that most concerned Clemson is Ohio State. And I have an assortment of reasons why that would be, starting with, I think they're the best team right at this moment. I think getting Chase Young back is an enormous boost to who and what they are. And the reason I think it's Ohio State is I think Ohio State has more ways to beat you. You know, for example, right now, even with Edwards-Hilaire, who's a versatile player, right now, when you look at teams like LSU and Alabama, they are primarily passing football teams. And let's just say it's LSU. And they are primarily a passing football team. And I think Clemson is actually well-structured defensively right now to deal with a passing football team. Whereas Ohio State can throw it. They have the quarterback run game, which gives you a whole new thing to worry about. And they have an elite running back who, if in my NFL draft ratings for running backs, I would have fourth in the country in Dobbins. And again, he would be behind. He would be behind in no particular order, Swift, Etienne, and Taylor. Dobbins is RB4 for me in America. So there are a lot of things to deal with when you're trying to stop Ohio State. I mean, you can take away something, but can you take away all those things? And for example, LSU just doesn't offer as many things. I mean, they're really proficient in what they do in the pass game, and Burrow can run the ball. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. But I think Ohio State would be the answer because of all the things they offer. Now, the one thing that I don't think we know for sure about Ohio State yet, and the best test of this might actually come against Minnesota, maybe Penn State, is how they hold up against a passing team, against a team that can throw the football. I don't think they've been tested to a great degree in that area yet. That's the one question I would have about them. And as far as Utah and Oregon are concerned, I think they would both beat Alabama. I just do. I just don't think Alabama's very good. I think their defense is terrible. I think they can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They don't even get lined up correctly. I mean, there were so many coverage busts in the game against LSU. You know, they've not stopped the run all year. You know, and for example, if they were to go against Utah, you're talking about a Huntley who's a dual threat freak of nature at quarterback, and Moss, who's an NFL running back and talent on the outside. Furthermore, Utah is a dominant defensive line. The two best defensive lines of the country might well be Utah and Auburn. So that's Utah. From an Oregon standpoint, Oregon is the best offensive line in America. I'm not even sure it's close. You know, I think conventional wisdom, including mine, before the year had Georgia ranked there, and I had Oregon as a top five offensive line. But in watching these teams all year, I mean, Oregon's the best offensive line in the country. It's by a wide margin. I mean, they can just line up and run it right at you, and they have elite running backs too, which is a real problem. I don't think Alabama could stop that. And obviously, both those teams have elite quarterbacks. So I just don't think Alabama's very good, and they have an injured quarterback. So, yes, I do. I believe that both Oregon and Utah would beat Alabama if they played today on a neutral field. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
Safe at home plate in the Priority One Security Studios. WAHT AM 1560 Cowpens. WCCP FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville, Anderson, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Hey guys, are you noticing less energy, weight gain, or poor performance in the bedroom? Odds are you might have low T. Come into Low Country Male today and get tested and get your life back. For just $200 a month, our medical team will have you feeling like a new man. Our concierge plans include testosterone, labs, medication, and doctor visits. We also treat ED with a huge selection of medication, advanced treatments like the P-Shot and shockwave therapy. Come see us in our new Greenville location or visit us online at lowcountrymale.com.
Hey, Tiger fans, we know you're on the lookout for the best Black Friday deals. Well, Engineered Sleep will be running their biggest sale of the year. Their high-quality, locally made mattresses will be heavily discounted and come with free delivery and setup of every order. The best Black Friday deal, the biggest sale of the year, free delivery. Go visit their showroom on Congaree Road in Greenville or check them out at engineeredsleep.com. Buy local and save big this Black Friday at Engineered Sleep.
If you have been arrested for DUI or any other